The Playdate, written by Louise Miller and read by Claire Corbett.
Friday. Chapter 1. Callie. The water is cold. I knew it would be, despite the disco ball of early summer sun that twirls through the willow trees onto the dark green velvety pond. I pull my foot out quickly and rub its soft, icy edges. A small yellow leaf sticks to my ankle. I'm not sure I am up for this. "There's something slimy in there," I say. Susie adopts the pouch she uses when she's trying to get Henry to eat broccoli. "Come on, it's yummy!" We both laugh. She stands up, towering above me at her full 5'10". With one swift movement, she pulls her grey toweling dress over her head and kicks off her flip-flops. She stands at the water's edge in a black bikini and looks out. An elderly lady glides towards her with smooth, long strokes, a blue rubber hat perched on wire-wool hair. Susie smiles and waits patiently for her to pass. I sit back on my elbows. There are about 20 women on the grass, in various small groups or alone. Some are reading, some talking. Two are lying close together, laughing, their legs entwined. I look back at Susie, who is still waiting for the old lady to move safely out of her path. It takes me a minute to realise I am staring at her body. It's not that I haven't seen it 100 times before, marching naked round the swimming bath's changing room after the kids, or whipping off her top in her kitchen when she gets gravy on it. No, what is strange is to see her body unfettered by children. In the 2.5 years I've known Susie, there has almost always been a child attached to it, feeding at a breast, astride a hip, wriggling under an arm. Suddenly, I notice how young she is. It's amazing how well her body is recovered from 3 children. She has a thick waist and a flat stomach with no hint of a soft pouch of flesh that Ray has left on mine. Her substantial bust sits high, politely accepting the support of the bikini, but not really needing it. Her skin is creamy and smooth, her frame strong and athletic. Taking a deep breath, she lifts her arms with the confidence of a girl who spent her childhood lake swimming in the Colorado mountains and dives into Hampstead Ladies Pond, ejecting a startled duck. I lie back and try to concentrate on where we are. A fly buzzes at my nose. There is an air of calm around the pond, a hidden world behind the trees of Hampstead Heath, where women swim and stretch and smile, far from the company of men. Perhaps this is what the inner sanctum of a harem feels like. Yes, I think. What could be better than this? Sitting in the early summer sun on a Friday afternoon with no kids and no work to worry about. Yet that is not really how I feel at all. The hot sun pricks my face a little unpleasantly. I try to focus on the sounds around me to relax. I used to collect interesting sounds, storing mentally the tiniest hum or echo or whisper of wind that I heard and liked, in case one day I might need them. Today, there is birdsong from a warbler, the soft swish of Susie's strokes, the crack of a squirrel on a twig. It is no use. However much I stretch my legs out, the tension that makes my buttocks and thighs clench won't release. My mind is racing. I need to tell Susie. I can't keep this secret from her. There is enough I hide from Susie already. I sit up again and check where she is. She's travelled to one side of the pond and is working her way back. Oh, what the hell. I'm here now. I stand up and walk over to the ladder and begin gingerly to climb into the murky water. The notice board says there are terrapins and crayfish in here.
Good girl,
Susie calls across, clapping to encourage me. I roll my eyes to show her I am not convinced. The water is cold and earthy as I lower myself into it, shivering. Bit by bit, the icy ring moves up my body until I am almost immersed.
Just swim,
calls Susie. Her bright American tone echoes out across the pond, and the female lifeguard looks over.